Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you Dominican Dimensions, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective, featuring the friars from St. Patrick Church in Columbus. And now, Dominican Dimensions.
Welcome to the Dominican Dimensions, a half hour of lively discussion by your local Dominican friars at St. Patrick Friary. I'm Father Stephen Alcott, and I'm joined in the studio today by Father Charles Schonk and by Father Stephen Dominic Hayes. Let's begin together with a prayer. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Sometimes when we go to Mass, it can seem somewhat routine, but we know that what is happening at Mass is anything but routine. What is happening at Mass is a communion with the heavenly liturgy. And even though due to our own human weakness and frailty, it seems sometimes like a routine, we know that in reality, it is always new. And today we'd like especially to speak about the liturgy of the Word. How can we listen to the Word of God, even if we've heard it many times, as something that is ever ancient but ever new, just as God is ever ancient and ever new, just as the Word of God, the Word made flesh, Christ, is ever ancient, ever new. Father Hayes, I know you have a story that goes way back.
Oh, yes, I do.
About how someone can hear the Word of God in a new way, in a life-changing way.
That's right. We often talk about the importance of not receiving a routine Holy Communion. I'm not sure, as you brought up, that when we think about opening the sacred page or coming to Mass to hear the Word of God, that we think about, well, am I hearing it routinely? Or am I sort of waiting for dessert with our communion with our Eucharistic Lord? But in fact, it's the gospel that changes us. You know, as St. Thomas Aquinas says, you know, it's if you have a choice between receiving the Holy Eucharist without having instruction about it, or hearing a sermon and not receiving the sacrament, but a sermon about the Holy Eucharist, it's much better to hear the sermon because it prepares you to receive something well. The gospel generally, it is the living mind of God. You know, that God can speak to you through it. So at any rate, there's this story from Cashin, surprise, John Cashin's Conferences of the Fathers. And it's John Cashin is interviewing a bunch of these desert monks about their experiences. And so the question about what is it, what is, you know, real conversion about? So one of the older fathers, Abbot Moses the Black, tells this story. And he says, there was this desert monk who lived at some point in the desert from his hermitage. And one of his duties, he had to go get water every day. So that's miles. So he comes back with this water jug on his shoulder. And as he's coming over the sand dunes, he sees his cell and a band of robbers going through it. So these are guys, this is the Roman Empire, outlaws will cut your throat as soon as look at you. But they're pillaging everything he has. So he, of course, is carrying the water jar, so he's moving slower. He gets finally there. They're over the next sand dune with the furniture. He goes in, and, like, there's nothing left. They've taken the food. They've taken the books, what little clothing he had. They've left him absolutely cleaned out except for this walking stick that they either didn't want or forgot. So he picks up the monk picks up the walking stick and starts chasing the robbers. You know, there's like 20 robbers. Okay. So yelling for them to stop. Anyway, and I tell this to and then he finally catches up with them because they're carrying the furniture and moving slower now. And he goes up, you know, to the biggest, meanest, most scarred one of the lot, who's obviously the robber chief, you know. And what do you think? I asked when I tell this to confirmation classes, I said, what do you think happens next? One kid said, hey, he hit him with a stick. No, he didn't hit him with a stick. Okay. He held out the stick to him and said, here. You forgot this. Go with God. And he turns around and walks back to his hermitage. And the robbers say to themselves, what just happened? You know, what just happened? Because all of a sudden, they find somebody who's a better thief than they are. They stole his stuff. He just stole their robbery. Because with the, obviously with the stick, giving the stick, he gave them everything that he had had. And here he puts the gospel into literal truth. If a man asks for your coat, give him your shirt. Mm-hmm. If a man wants to walk, makes him walk 1 mile with him, walk two. If if he strikes you on one cheek, offer the other. And so he, and this is a characteristic, really, of the old life of the desert monks. You live the gospel as it's written. This is how St. Anthony ended up a monk. And so, at any rate, the robbers now pick up the furniture, and they go back to the monk's cell. They put everything back, and he said, "Yeah, who are you? Why did you come here? What do you think you're doing out here? And what was that all about this morning?" You know, and he begins to explain why he's there, to see Jesus Christ in prayer, in isolation, you know, to bring the fight to the devil, to this Egyptian desert littered with the ruins of paganism, you know, and, you know, its intent and demonic infestations. And they stay, and they become monks. Unless you say, Abimodus says, that you think this is just a preacher story, let me tell you something. I was the robber chieftain.
Wow.
This is how I came to Christ. This is how I came to live in the desert. And he is actually one of the big figures in the history of the Desert Fathers. There's many other stories told about him in other sources. So here's what happens when you live the gospel literally. And it still works, you know. Mm-hmm. Christians really in a dark world should stick out like sore thumbs. one more quick one, and I'll be done, because I'm monopolizing this. But when we had missions in Pakistan, do you remember this?
Right, yep.
Okay, the Dominican Province of St. Joseph used to have parishes in Pakistan. We had to give them over. When politics got bad, we had to give them over to the Irish province to take care of. But the story from there was one of our parishioners was waiting for one of these intercity buses in Pakistan, which are these big painted things, you know, gaily painted with, like, you know, rumbling through the desert with racks of live goats and chickens on the top, as well as people's luggage. And it's mostly Muslims, of course, but there are Christians and Catholics. So one of our parishioners is waiting at a bus stop, and a bus starts moving off. It's not his bus, but a suitcase falls off the top. Okay, so he picks up the suitcase and starts running along the side of the bus, pounding on the side of it, you know, telling the bus driver to stop. And finally, he stops, opens the thing, and he says, "If you're getting in, get in." And the man says, "No, I'm not getting in." He said, "This fell off the top of your bus." And the bus driver said to him, "You must be a Christian." Okay? Because in Islam, you know, what happens to you is the will of God, good and bad. You know, I mean, you're Abdullah, right? Abdullah, slave of God. You know, you're not the friend of God. You're not the child of God. You are the servant of God, you know, in the sense of Abd, you know, the slave. So you don't question what your master is doing. You just suffer it one way or the other. And so to take care of – so if you're going to lose your luggage, you're going to lose your luggage, and that's part of God's plan. Don't mess with it. But if you take care of a perfect stranger's property as if it were your own, that stands out. And this is the kind of witness that comes from actually living these passages.
Mm, yeah. Yeah, and as priests and as preachers, we always are trying to do that. When we preach on a gospel and we're working on our homily, we've often seen this text many times. And so it's something that we always have to try to look at it afresh, look at it new, especially if we have examples from our life or, like Father Hayes was saying, from other people's lives that illustrate that. Father Charles, can you talk a little bit about how you do that and when you're preparing your homilies?
I was just thinking, you know, maybe before I answer that question, you know, we talked about the routine, how listening to scripture at Mass can become routine. We've heard all of these scripture passages over and over again. But I think there's something, you know, no doubt, you know, to go back to the Desert Fathers, St. Anthony, you know, no doubt, he had, you know, in case you're not familiar with the story, St. Anthony heard the gospel in which Jesus speaks to the rich young man and says, "You lack one thing, sell all you have, give to the poor, come follow me." And the rich man goes away sad because he has many possessions. And so St. Anthony hears this gospel and he decides to do what Jesus counsels.
Because he's a rich young man.
Yeah. Well,
very
you know,
rich young man.
And, yeah, 200 acres of good Nile Valley. Yeah.
Right. And, you know, Jesus doesn't command the rich young man to do this. He advises him to. He says, if you would be perfect, you lack one thing. Do this, you know. So St. Anthony takes Jesus on his word and literally does this, right? Gives away all his possessions and goes to live in the desert, a life of continual prayer. But my point, you know, is that no doubt St. Anthony had heard that gospel before. You know, he had heard it many times. You know, he was raised a Christian, and but the 100th time he heard it, you know, the Holy Spirit, you know, broke through and changed his life forever, you know. So I think there's we're not going to be able to tell you how to listen to the gospel in such a way that your life will be changed the next time you hear it. Right.
There's a grace because, involved.
Because the Holy Spirit, you know, blows where he wills and chooses a particular time, right, when the conditions are right to change our lives in response to hearing the word of God. So we go to Mass over and over again to try to open up our hearts and our minds to the word of God, but it's not totally under our control, right? We make ourselves available, right? Mm-hmm. And making ourselves available over and over again disposes us to those moments, those crucial moments when the Holy Spirit, the Word of God does become living and effective in an extraordinary way in our lives. So I guess I'd say that just because I don't think it's an either or thing. I think it's a both and thing. You know, we have the routine and the routine is good. And if the routine hadn't been there, maybe we wouldn't, that extraordinary moment wouldn't happen, you know.
I do think every time we come, there's a sense in which our experience of the scriptures is broadened. You know, I mean, when you hear it preached on by different preachers, for instance, when you pick up a book and a passage is mentioned that you've heard before but talked about in a different text, this all expands our memories. I mean, we're sharing the gospel with each other in all these different ways. And then I think that is part of the preparation the Holy Spirit makes for the moment when, bam, you know, the Spirit strikes with holy fire, and all of a sudden the words are aflame in our hearts. You know, the voice of God, Jesus, is resounding in them, and our life has changed.
You're listening to The Dominican Dimensions, a half hour of lively discussion about issues from a Catholic and Dominican perspective. I'm joined today by Father Charles Schonk and Father Stephen Dominic Hayes. I'm Father Stephen Alcott. We all are at St. Patrick Priory here in Columbus. And we're speaking about hearing the Word of God, hearing the Word of God in such a way that we are available, ready for it to change our life. It can seem routine at times, and it may not be, as we were just talking about, that every time you hear the gospel, something, a bolt of lightning from the blue will strike you and change your life. It may be the first time, it may be the 101st time, but how to be available for that. And I think there's a quote I remember hearing from a Catholic microbiologist, Louis Pasteur, you know, from which we get pasteurization, among other things. He said, chance favors the prepared mind. You know, even someone who's looking for a cure for something, or someone who's looking, you know, to solve an intractable problem in science, there may be some element of chance in it, or we might say providence, but you're better able to be ready for it if you're prepared for it when it comes, if you're looking for it. And so maybe we could say that from a theological perspective, that the Holy Spirit acting in your life favors those who have opened the doors to that word as much as they can, as widely as they can.
As a corollary, if inattention is the basic pattern, you know, we can grow in our inattention to what's going on around us when things become, as we said at the beginning of the early retreat, if we are inattentive on a habitual basis, that can grow, and we become more and more impervious to that moment by reason of our continued lack of preparation. As I right. said, I do think there's a sense in which, just as one should attend Mass expecting never to make a routine communion, that you treat it as sometimes, you know, priests are told you celebrate every Mass as if it's your first Mass, your last Mass, your only Mass. Maybe mm-hmm. we should think about that as Holy Communion. But also as the Word of God, you know, is if you come to hear the Holy Gospel read or preached upon, you know, if you pick up the sacred page on your own knees, you know, pick it up as if it's the first time you ever hear the gospel, the last time you ever hear the gospel, and the only time you will ever hear that saving word of the gospel.
Mm. 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 Yeah, there's the old adage, faith comes by hearing, mm-hmm. right? And I think when we attend Mass, we do hear the gospel in a different way, scripture in a different way, than we do in any other setting, you know. You know, sometimes happens even for me as a priest, I prepare a homily. I do my best to prepare, ask the questions that I think the people in the pews are asking, you mm-hmm. know. And but then I get up there in the pulpit, and I, as I'm reading the gospel, as I'm proclaiming it, mm-hmm. you know, something strikes me that didn't strike me the whole time I was preparing for my homily.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think that that is an indication that we hear Scripture differently in the context of the Eucharist, you know, celebrating the Eucharist. We Christ is speaking to us in a heightened way in those circumstances. So, you know, just on a practical level, you know, it helps, of course, it helps to read the readings ahead of time, right? Because even when we're not actively thinking about the scripture that's being proclaimed for that Sunday or that weekday, our minds are working on it, right? Even when we're not actively thinking about it. And then when we hear it again in the context of the Mass, sometimes the penny drops, you know, oh, wow, you know, that detail really stood out to me, you know. And so often with Scripture, it is the details, you know, it's that little detail that seems insignificant, but then when you connect it with other things, it's suddenly it attains a meaning and significance that you didn't realize.
Mm-hmm. Things that are said and even things that are not said.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was talking with Father on the way over here, you know, we have Jesus coming at his baptism. We have three institution narratives. But one of the things that's interesting is the fact that he comes out of the water immediately. All the other people baptized by John are confessing their sins in the river because they have sins. Jesus acts as if he has no sins. Mm-hmm. My heavens, and then the thunder clouds roll in, and we've read the scriptures before. We know what's going to happen to this proud guy who acts as if he has no sins. Instead, you know, his announcement is his identity of Son of Christ. You know that, but what is it? He didn't stay confessing his sins. The scripture doesn't explicitly say that, but that's part of the context.
Mm-hmm.
The more we know about that, the better it is. And as I said, the little details sometimes are what are crucial.
Yeah. So, what are some ways that people listening can try to be more available? Can open their ears better? You know, can really hear the word? You know, as if it's the first time. We certainly reading the readings before Mass is a great way just to prepare ourselves so that even if you're not actively thinking about it, you know, something might resonate and then you'll make that connection to that scripture that you read just earlier that day. It'll be fresher in your mind. Are there other ways that, you know, or even just ideas from preaching, you know, preparing a homily? Because preachers definitely have to try to hear the word before we right. proclaim it, before we preach about it.
Well, one thing is to make it habitual access to the readings available because our life is busy, but the lay people's lives are busy as well. So sometimes it's just making sure you can get it. Now, the nice thing with some of these phones is the scriptures are right there for the daily reading. So sites like the National Bishops Conference has the daily readings for all the days of liturgical right. year, you know, available. And then some of the applications like iBreviary by the Franciscans of the Holy Land also have the daily readings available. So, yeah, we have really no excuse. You don't have to be carrying Bibles around all the time. You know. But you, so even before Mass starts, you might have a couple of minutes, read over the scripture, even if you don't get it to do it beforehand. I think there's the – I think a prayer to the Holy Spirit is important, you know, to ask the Lord what he wants to show you. As soon as you open the sacred page, what, Lord, do you want me to see today? I mean, sometimes it's I take this from the practice of Lectio Divina, when you're really praying over the scriptures, not just reading them, not just studying them, but you're actually praying over them, expecting the grace of God come forward. I think you have to, you know, the old pattern that I learned, and it's in St. Dominic's Eighth Way of Prayer, is, you know, if you sort of keep going over it line by line and go back on the line, sort of commit it to your heart, and then maybe the Lord will ask you to pray out of it, and sometimes he doesn't, and then you just, you know, when that's completely dry, then you go on to the next one. But if you'll end up putting a lot of scripture in your heart, and on a bad day of prayer, but sometimes the prayer, you might get one line of scripture that keeps speaking to you again and again, and you spend the time that you've allotted in deep prayer with the Lord. So,
yeah, I really recommend, people have different abilities in this respect, but I really recommend, if you can, to commit certain passages of scripture to memory, you know. Memorization is something that we've forgotten how to do in the modern world, because everything's at our fingertips, right? We're an information age, and we've also lost the ability to read in a meditative way. And that's because we're trained to read to gather facts, to gather information, right? You know, that's insufficient, you know, when you read scripture, that's just insufficient. You know, you need to savor, dwell on all the little details. Again, I go back to those details, right? Every little detail is significant. And that takes patience. You know, scripture does not open its treasures immediately, right? It's something, it's like, you know, you have to go back over it and back over it and back over it. And it kind of yields its treasures gradually as you kind of till the soil, right? So I guess that's, maybe that just boil that down to patience, you know. It can be frustrating, and you think, I'm getting nowhere, but repetition, memorization, patience. And then, you know, remember you're not alone, right? That's one of the great things about being Catholic, is we have this huge tradition, you know, that we'll never be able to exhaust. You know, in one lifetime, it's just impossible to exhaust the treasure of commentary on sacred scripture from the saints, from the church fathers, from...
archaeologists and critical studies.
Even. Exactly, yeah. Right. Learned people of our own day, you know. There's many good resources out there that bring this down to a layman's level, you know, in a way that ordinary Catholics can access, you know. Mm-hmm. So those are some thoughts.
Yeah, and I think if you do have a chance to, some people will talk it over in their family, or if they have a group, a Bible study group, talking about it with other people. I know as Dominicans, we're very blessed to be able to hear other people preach on the same text, you know. And I always get new things when I listen to others. And there's another thing, that if you do have an ability to look at all the readings of that day together, the church kind of, you can sometimes look for a common thread. You know, there's usually a connection, at least in the Sunday readings, between the first reading and the gospel, and the psalm. Those three are often connected. The second reading, the New Testament reading, is often just a continuation of the week before, but the others are. And in a way, that's what the church is choosing. You know, it's almost like having, if you're just by yourself, you know, you may not have as much insight, but the church is giving you her own insight, by saying, now, what does this first reading have to do with the gospel? It was chosen for a reason, you know, mm-hmm. and that mm-hmm. can be a way to try to look for those connections. And then the psalm is almost always chosen to reflect on the first reading. What do you find in the psalm? I find that's something that's often overlooked. You know, we mm-hmm. see the psalm as just like a little musical decoration, you know, a little musical interlude, but that's just as much the word of mm-hmm. God as the other readings are. Mm-hmm. But it's almost like having those readings are sort of in dialogue with each other, and often something, you know, when you compare them, you can see that common thread. It might help you look at it in a new way.
On the actual text of the gospel, the spiritual senses, you'll pretty much find on every page, you know, prophetic references to Jesus. You can ask, where is Jesus in this? You can ask, where I am in this, where we as Christians are, because it also talks about our destiny in him. And then what to do, what not to do in the moment, you know, the guidance of the moral sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And a good question, even for non-preachers to ask, is if I were giving a talk on this, you know, mm-hmm. If I were teaching a class on this, if I were telling my kids about it, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. how would I unlock the meaning of this for them? And that can help you to read more actively, right? Mm-hmm. So that you're not just kind of, the words just don't run over the surface of your mind, but you're actually digging down and trying to access that deeper mm-hmm. meaning.
Right. One of the best ways to learn is to teach.
Amen. Yeah.
Thank you so much for being with us today and listening to the Dominican Dimensions, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective. I'm Father Stephen Alcott. I'm joined today by Father Charles Schunk and Father Stephen Dominic Hayes, Dominicans at St. Patrick Priory here in Columbus, Ohio. Let's close with our prayer to St. Dominic.
O light of the Church, teacher of truth, rose of patience, ivory of chastity, freely you have poured forth the waters of wisdom. O preacher of grace, unite us to the blessed.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Dominican Dimensions is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820. Archives of Dominican Dimensions and all of our locally produced programs are available at stgabrielradio.com.